Hello and welcome to the Echo Chamber podcast. Today we're going to be talking about the Special Criminal Court. Before we get to that, hi Tony, how are you, buddy?
I'm very good, Martin. I'm very good. Just very, very quickly, guys, we know what's happening in terms of the programme for government. The votes are going through. There's threats of constitutional crises. We are going to be going live on Friday evening. So if you are one of our Patreon supporters across the Tortoise Shack, come and join us. We will have a live reaction pod. We will have plenty of interesting, and we're going to open up the mics. So we're going to allow people ask questions about whatever the outcome, whether it's a yay or nay in terms of the program for government. Should be a bit of fun. Details on patreon.com/Tortoise Shack. Anyway, Martin.
Yes. Now we're joined by Doreen Ansbrough from ICCL. So, Doreen, will you explain to us what exactly is the criminal court, the Special Criminal Court?
Sure. So, in 1972, because of a perceived threat from paramilitary organisations, the government decided that we needed a special court which had lower standards in relation to evidence and wouldn't have a jury in order to prosecute people who were deemed to be essentially subversive or essentially constituting a threat to the state or to the institutions of the state. And the reason they were able to make this special court is because our constitution actually allows for the creation of a special court where the normal courts can't essentially achieve justice or what in order for the preservation of peace. So there's kind of two elements to why a special court might be used as foreseen in the constitution. I think it's important to say at the outset that there were a lot of people opposed to the creation of the special court at that stage. Because really what the drafters of the Constitution had in mind was sort of a situation where you'd have a conflict, be it a civil war or another conflict, where there were vast amounts of people who needed to be processed and who would overrun the criminal justice system, which never really was the case here. So anyway, that's sort of the origins of the court.
Why is it incongruous with good judicial practice?
Well, first of all, everyone in this country has the right to be tried by a jury. And the importance of the right to a jury really goes to the fact that what we're saying is we're taking ordinary people with ordinary views and asking them if they, if they believe that this person, that there's enough evidence to convict someone. And it means that, not only is justice a participative process that, ordinary citizens are participating in it, but it also it means that justice is being seen to be done. So justice always needs to be done, but also seen to be done in order to ensure that there's trust in the system and to ensure fairness. It's the ultimate mechanism for fairness, really, ensuring that members of the public are participating in our justice system. So the right to a jury is in our constitution. It's seen as a really fundamental part of ensuring fairness. And not having a jury in the special court is one of the main criticisms of it, that's cited by people who have opposed it from the beginning. There's also issues to do with the fact that it has a lower standard of evidence, especially since 1998, when there were amendments made to the underlying legislation, which is called the Offences Against the State Act. Evidence can be accepted in the special court that isn't acceptable in other courts, in the ordinary court. So, for example, a Garda can say that they believe something without actually giving the court the evidence or showing why they believe it to the defence. It's called belief evidence. And it's very problematic because at the heart of any criminal trial is the ability to test the evidence against you. And that's what protects us all from abuses within the criminal justice system is the idea of having a defense lawyer go in and test the evidence against you. So if you're not able to see what that evidence is, you're kind of undermining the very core of a fair trial. And interestingly enough, there was a case last year in the Special Criminal Court where the DPP tried to convict someone on the basis of a guard of belief evidence without having seen any information that led to that belief. So the judge actually made an order requiring the guard to share at least some information with the prosecution explaining why they had that belief, but the guard refused. So the judge actually acquitted the two defendants, which was a very positive decision. But for us, we just think this shows a really problematic attitude within the Special Criminal Court, which is that, you know, those standards of evidence are not, normal standards of evidence aren't being met. And even what is allowed within the Special Criminal Court is somehow being expanded as well. So it's problematic from a number of points of view.
The last time we spoke, it was actually just around COVID was kicking off and the police themselves were there was other legislation coming in. They were looking for emergency powers, you know, to stop and search, the restrictions on civil liberties and these things. And you guys fought very well and successfully, it has to be said, in ICCL to help introduce the sunset clause, to help make sure that these things would always be reviewed. And we always talk about the thing about mission creep. Mm-hmm. And mission creep for me, when I think about the Special Criminal Court, is, as you said, the Special Criminal Court at its when it was came to light in very different times. In theory, that this country there was still a paramilitary terrorist organization active on the island, and they were engaged in acts of violence, murder, destruction, and terror. That's no longer the case. Is it still fit for purpose, as or has mission creep just meant that this is, you know, they can just throw it out there? As the Taoiseach himself did, he said one of his four C's that he had a problem with Sinn Féin was the courts. He said C was courts and their failure to recognise the Special Criminal Court, which was, and yet I know Sinn Féin abstained yesterday in the vote. Yeah. But again, this is a long way of me asking, is it still fit for purpose?
Well, you know, ICCL opposed the existence of the Special Criminal Court since ICCL came into existence, which was in 1976, 4 years after it had come into being, for the reasons I've outlined, the problems with fair trial rights, the lack of a jury. But those who did support the creation at the time, you know, they did it in line with the Constitution, which allows for special courts, and based on the fact that there was a declared emergency in this country, and they declared the emergency and essentially justified the creation of the court on that basis. Now, interestingly enough, just 3 years before the Good Friday Agreement, that emergency was actually declared as over, and it was recognised in by the UN Human Rights Committee, which is tasked with seeing if we're complying with some of our international human rights obligations. And they recognised that, and they said, look, you know, you had the court during the emergency, you've now declared the emergency is over, so you need to end the jurisdiction of the Special Criminal Court. But after the Oma bombing in 1998, effectively the court's jurisdictions and actually standards of evidence were changed. So not only was the jurisdiction itself consolidated, but actually it was expanded at that stage to include various elements, including allowing for inferences from people who weren't answering certain questions, which was, again, very problematic from the perspective of the right to silence. So that was at that point. In 98. And then, despite the fact that we had been very much, you know, encouraged to end the jurisdiction of the Special Criminal Court, given that the emergency had been declared as over, in 2009, the government decided to extend the jurisdiction to include organized crime. And they expanded their jurisdiction by identifying certain offenses that now could be tried in the Special Criminal Court that had nothing to do with the dissident threat or the so-called state of emergency. So what we're seeing is exactly what you said is like a is mission creep. It's a seeping into ordinary law of extraordinary law that was supposed to only last for the duration, a very limited duration of an emergency. And that's something that a lot of human rights experts have really highlighted as problematic, not just in our context here, but in general in the world. You know, it's a problem where, you know, we've seen even with the Patriot Act in the US, which was brought in to allow for extensive surveillance following September 11th, that ended up, you know, seeping into ordinary law and this whole expanded program of surveillance. So, that's just one example. But bringing it back to Ireland, you know, this is one of the key reasons, you know, we would say this legislation shouldn't be renewed and actually the court needs to be ended because the emergency is over, the justification is over, and it's time to reassert our trust in our ordinary criminal justice system as being fit for purpose.
Has the court become politicized? I understand if you don't want to answer that, but do you think it's become politicized?
Yeah, I mean, we don't normally comment on politics, but I mean, what can I say? It would appear that there are people using it as a political football.
I'm going to come in and say that I find from my reading of it, it's painted politically as, you know, you're either with us or you're against us. It's the George, you mentioned the Patriot Act, and I'm thinking of George Bush's famous, you're with the terrorists or you're with us or you're with the terrorists. I know that's a much bigger statement, but when I think about the aspect of the Special Criminal Court that, I suppose the only function I can see, and I suppose this is the big question is what extent of evidence of witness intimidation exists? Because that should be the only reason something like that actually exists, that the people who need to give evidence can't do it safely. And, you know, so is that functioning? Is that part of it functioning?
You're absolutely right. I think that, you know, what we're seeing is what the justification we're given now is that juries will be intimidated, and trying these offences in the Special Criminal Court is effectively all about protecting the jury. But there's a number of issues with that. I mean, firstly, from a strictly human rights perspective, where you are limiting a right, and in this case we're talking about the right to a fair trial, you always have to demonstrate that it's necessary and proportionate, meaning that those limits are as small as possible to achieve your aim, which in this case is justice. Whereas what we've been saying for a long time is that the government has never actually demonstrated that the obvious and available alternatives to the Special Criminal Court are insufficient to protect juries. And those alternatives are being used in other jurisdictions. And they were even foreseen by an act here, in a 1929 act called the Juries Act, whereby, you know, you acknowledge that a jury might be facing some kind of threat from whether it's dissident, whether it's paramilitary organizations or organized crime gangs. But what you do is you take steps to protect them. So number one, you could potentially have anonymous juries. That's what they use in the US. I mean, no one can say that our organized crime problem is worse than the US organized crime problem. You just can't say that. And they're, you know, they are using anonymized juries to try, you know, the leader of drug cartels. You also can have, you know, very simple protections where you bring in screens so that the defendant can't see members of the jury. There is new technology that could be deployed, for example, video links, where you have a jury in a safe place and they're watching the trial through video link. There's actually been a trial of a jury trial in England. It was a mock trial, it wasn't a real trial, but they're trialing to see if video link juries trials can work, and the was very successful as far as we're aware. So there's all these alternatives that just haven't been demonstrated as being ineffective. And yet we just hear time and time again that we need the special to protect juries. And the other point about that is you still have witnesses going to the Special Criminal Court, where they're literally giving evidence against these people who are so dangerous that, you know, they can't even have a jury trial. But what about the fact that, you know, we're still willing to allow witnesses to participate in these trials shows that, you know, we must have some faith that they're not going to be under extreme threat in the same way that maybe a jury would be. So it doesn't ring true, this idea that we need the Special Criminal Court to protect juries.
What is the blind spot in Ireland? We're very good at looking at other people's judicial systems and saying, that's not quite right, that's not quite right. But when it comes to Ireland, if you speak against the Special Criminal Court, you're the odd man out. But in the rest of the world, if you speak against the Special Criminal Court, you're on the right side of things. So why is there such a blind spot in Ireland?
Well, I think firstly, it's important to say that it's not just international human rights bodies that have criticised the Special Criminal Court. We've also had national bodies criticise it, and sort of eminent legal scholars. You'll hear people talk a lot about the Hederman Report. Now, that was a committee tasked with looking at the Special Criminal Court. And while they didn't sort of officially recommend that it should be abolished, a very significant minority of very eminent and senior people in this jurisdiction argued for its abolition. Their names are escaping me at the moment, but it was a former judge, Supreme Court judge. There was legal scholars. It has been criticised. Our organisation has criticised it for decades. The former Human Rights Commission here has heavily criticised it. It's now under review by the current Irish Human Rights and Equality Commission. And the government has actually promised to review the legislation. And that's partly why Sinn Féin abstained yesterday, was because the government said they were going to do an independent review over the next year. I think they said. I think maybe they didn't give an exact timeline, but they said it would be part of the general process of reviewing policing in Ireland as part of the programme for reform that the Commission for Future Policing Reform. So, I think all policing legislation is going to be reviewed under that. So it's just to say, like, it hasn't only been criticised by international people; it's also been criticised in Ireland as well. Whether or not there is a blind spot, I mean, I think, you know, fundamentally what we're talking about here is where additional powers are given to state bodies, it's always very difficult to take them back. And that's partly why emergency legislation is so dangerous, is that once, you know, there is an expansion of a power, it's very difficult to reduce it. So it may be that, you know, they're saying, well, look, if these expanded powers could lead to better criminal justice outcomes, then how can we possibly say, you know, we might be criticized in the future if things don't improve because we got rid of it. So it's I think there might be an element around that.
The actual justification for the Special Criminal Court at the moment, and it's worth pointing out that there are more women killed in domestic abuse situations than there are gangland murders in this country. Yet we don't seem to need a Special Criminal Court for domestic abuse. So the rationale doesn't really make sense. We have a functioning judicial system. We have a functioning police service. Really and truly, the Special Criminal Court is saying we can't get our act together. That's what it says. That's what it means to have one, is that you can't get your act together to make things work in other parts of your judicial system. Why is that?
I think you've hit on a really important point there. And, you know, I was listening to Prime Time on Tuesday night and Taoiseach was on, and very briefly the presenter said something about the Special Criminal Court, but didn't press him on it. But one thing he did say in response was, look, it means bad people are put away. Is the phrase bad people. And I was thinking, you know, what about people who've been raped and have had their family members murdered? Like, they're thinking, like, well, the normal criminal justice system is good enough for those bad people, so why do we need a separate court these other bad people? Are we creating this hierarchy of, you know, of criminals? And of course, when they're in court, they're not actually criminals. They're accused. They're suspects. They're people who are, they're still innocent until they're convicted, you know. So I found that language very problematic myself. So, I mean, in reality, we do have a very good ordinary justice system. You know, we have excellent standards of fair trial in our ordinary system. I mean, ICCL has a few things to say about improving it, but in general, you know, it's recognised as a very good system. You know, we've got an independent judiciary. We have the public prosecutor. We have a very high standard of defence, of defence lawyers. So, you know, realistically, what needs to happen is that we need to express our confidence in the government and opposition needs to express their confidence in the ordinary criminal justice system, which in fact is fit for purpose. And that needs to be recognised.
Tony, we spoke to somebody there in Malawi about their judicial system, and they're trying to get the Malawi government to be better with their judicial system. But here, it's like we actually need somebody here. I know ICACL is doing it all the time, and we have other people coming in. But how do we shake this up? How do we stop this constant? And it's 40, it's nearly 50 years old now, the Special Criminal Court. It's 1972, 1976. So it's nearly 50.
Yeah, 72. I think it's 48 years.
48 years. So, I mean, it's a long, long time, and it's constantly renewed every single year. That shows us that there's a problem with this, that it has to be constantly renewed.
We've spoken, Martin, to that was Irish Rule of Law.
Irish Rule of Law.
That go around and help in some of the most disadvantaged and developing nations, as we call them now. But, you know, as we used to traditionally just the Special Criminal Court just seems to we this legacy. So that would be my main issue. But I think, Dorian, you've answered that very well by explaining, you know, A, the mission creep, B, how it has developed into other areas, and now it takes account of simple things like, you know, gangland crime, and it's been used for these other issues. My only pushback would be if we don't have a mechanism. Are we the odd one out? Do other countries have something similar, or are we, you know, should we actually, or is there actually a model that we should just adopt?
I mean, it depends on where you look. Like, you know, different countries have different ways of dealing with it. As I said, you know, organized crime is dealt with in ordinary courts in the US. In the UK, they do have the potential for having a non-jury trial, which is opposed by many human rights organisations there. In Northern Ireland, the difference between those jurisdictions and these jurisdictions, in particular, if you go up to Northern Ireland, is that where you have a concern, you have to have a particular concern that a jury will be interfered with. And you have to make a case to a judge that a jury won't be safe before you can actually access the non-jury trial. Whereas in Ireland, the DPP gets to decide that this case needs to be heard in a special criminal court without any safeguards or without asking a judge. So, you know, there's a significant difference there. And just while I'm on the topic, I would just say as well, like, that we actually have an issue here about equal protection of the law and equal and equality, because you have a situation where one person accused of crime X, let's call it, can be tried in the ordinary courts, but another person accused of the same crime will be tried in the special criminal court with a lower standard of fair trial because the DPP decides. It's problematic from that perspective too.
Is there oversight of the DPP's decisions? Or I mean, I know you're not allowed to look at a DPP's decision. He makes the decision, she makes the decision, it goes forward or it doesn't. Is there any criteria there? Is there any oversight at all on what cases get filtered into the Special Criminal Court?
Our understanding is that the Irish courts have so far been quite reluctant to interfere with the DPP decision. That's our understanding. In terms of generally, just in case it's of interest to your listeners, since the Victims of Crime Act was brought in 2017, I'm sure it was 2018, the DPP now, if they make a decision not to prosecute, and it's more about victims' rights, but the victim can ask for a review of that decision. Firstly, they can ask for reasons for that decision, and then they can ask for a review of the decision if the reasons don't. That's a little bit of an aside because it's from the victim's perspective, but just in terms of accountability and oversight over what the DPP does.
Doreen, thanks.
That is an additional mechanism.
Yeah. Thanks very much for coming on and explaining the Special Criminal Court to us. And hopefully this time next year, when it comes up for renewal again, we can have more people who have looked more into it. And we can see that we're an outlier with the Special Criminal Court. And we are an outlier with it. So thank you again for spending time with us. Tony, any last words?
No, Martin, we've talked about this offline. We've spoken to other people in security and in law, and they've all told us that it's problematic, and we need to have that conversation. And it's just been one of these things in Ireland that has been out of it's kind of the bogeyman that if you bring it up and you're deemed to be some sort of you're on the bad side, you're one of the bad guys, and you're not, you're simply just seeking to have a conversation about how we do things better. And I think the work of ICCL, so it's iccl.ie, guys, go on over there. They do require actually support, so you can click on the little iccl.ie/donate, hit them up, follow them on Twitter. You know, they're out there fighting a good fight, and we appreciate the work you guys do. That's thanks a lot for listening.
Thank you very much, Tony. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Doreen.